kind of mixing it up this morning, going to have a little fun. Is that okay with y'all? Y'all? So today is, if you saw it on the slide, it said AMA, which is not the abbreviation for the American Medical Association in this context. So it's Ask Me Anything. And last week and this morning invited you to write down your questions that you'd like me to answer, and I would pull them out of this box without looking at them ahead of time. A couple of people sent me questions by email or text, so I know those questions, but I don't know what order is in here. And how many do you think we have in here, Leah? 12 or 13 questions, which I won't get to all of. So what I'll do is save them until the next time we do this. I may get to all of them. I may just whip out those answers just like that, and then we'll all be enlightened, and woo, here we go. Let me answer one question that came to me via text. The question was, are we a unity church? Are we a science of mind church? Are we a center for spiritual living, which is the same thing as science of mind church? What kind of church are we? Officially, we are a unity church. We are incorporated as a unity church. We have our 501c3 tax exemption as a religious organization, as a unity church. So we are a unity church. However, unity and religious science, science of mind, centers for spiritual living, all come from the same roots. All the teachers were taught, all the people that are the integral part of unity and science of mind all studied under the same teachers. And so there are two approaches to the same truth. And so Kit is working on her ordination as a CSL minister, and I've been ordained as a unity minister since 92. So we are making an amalgamation of bringing those disciplines together. Sometimes the science of mind teachings appeal to people more than the unity teachings do. They appeal to a different part of the thinking, feeling process. And others are more attracted to the unity approach, but there's really not that much difference. And if you notice, sometimes our chaplains wear our interfaith stoles, which have symbols for all of the world religions. So I would also say that we're married under New Thought, but although we are not a synagogue, we embrace and teach our Judeo-Christian origins. We look at the Hebrew Bible from the viewpoint of the Jewish community. Although we're not Buddhist, we embrace the mindfulness and the respect of Buddhism. So if anybody ever, and so on and so on. I love that Julie and Mike showed us that greeting, because if you've ever seen, I'm kind of glad, but I kind of wish I would have done a haka, but it's okay that you didn't. That is the Maori dance that can express, it can express back off, we are fierce, and we will show you how fierce we are. And if you need just YouTube, just get on YouTube and look at a haka. It's powerful. It can also express blessing at a wedding. It can also express sorrow and respect for someone who's passed. But every time a haka finishes, the people greet each other, acknowledge each other by that touching and that sharing of breath. So are we indigenous people of the South Pacific? No, we are not, but we embrace that as well, because all paths lead to the same place. Okay, any questions? Okay, before I get into this box, Do you have any idea who might have provided this headgear to me? Yes. Who would have done that?
Yes.
Betty Potts, yes. They're not here today, unfortunately, but I would actually like to get into their home and find out where she keeps all the hats. I've seen the exterior of their house, and you know how some hoity-toity people have a gift wrapping room?
Yeah.
Yes, well, I wonder if she's got a hat room, because, you know. Okay, so I'm not gonna leave this on the whole time. Oh, please. Okay, I'll leave it on for one question. It does fit. It actually does. Thank you. Thank you. It's not something that I'll be wearing on a regular basis, you understand. I will not go out in public. And see, this is how much I trust you. It's on the internet right now. So, aloha, hello. Buenos dias. Bonjour. Thanks for being here with us. The weird church on the hill. Well, it's too much stuff. I mean, am I good? What is a giving consciousness? Well, since I've been talking about that a little bit over the last, I don't know, few months, let me just reiterate what a giving consciousness is. Can I put this here, Kit? Thank you. A giving consciousness is something that you do with this part of you. It may be sparked in your imagination from here, but it really comes from here. A giving consciousness is not just about the money that you give, it's about the giving of yourself. It's about a generosity of being. I received an article this week somebody sent me that talked about the way employers can have a giving consciousness toward their employees. That's kind of backwards from the American work ethic, isn't it? It would mean, a giving consciousness would mean encouraging your workers to be their very best, to become who they're supposed to become, even if it means they're going to leave your employ. A giving consciousness means telling people what you see about them that's good. You know, we're an appearance-oriented society, but we also see the greater gifts in each other, and acknowledging those is important, because you know how it feels to be acknowledged. One of the things that you can look at is how much are you willing to receive in your life? How much do you feel like you deserve to receive in your life? Because that is the flip side of a giving consciousness is a receiving consciousness. If your receiving consciousness is overbalanced so that it's, come on, give me more. I need more love. I need more money. I need more shoes. That just popped out. I need more, I need more hats. I have worn too many hats today, believe me. I need more. I need more from life. I need more from life. Do you know people like that? There is never enough. Can you imagine where their giving consciousness is? because I know I'm not talking about any of you, so I'm just asking you to look in your, you know, memory banks and look at the people that you know, but look at yourself. If you're a person that somebody compliments and you say, oh, stop it. And say, thank you. That's not hard. Today, I almost got hit again on the way in. I was on Elder Hill Road, and a really sweet little Mustang came around the corner really fast and mostly in my lane. And I didn't have a whole lot of ditch to head for. So I got over as far as I could, and of course the road was slick, and the Mustang overcorrected itself and almost spun out behind me. I was watching, sitting there trying to get my heart back down in my chest. And we both stopped and looked at each other in our rearview mirrors to make sure we were all okay. And as I drove on, my first words were, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I can tell you that there have been long stretches in my life where that would not have been my first thought. I would have had some reflections about the driver. But a giving consciousness is a generosity of self. And you have to believe that you're worthy, that your gifts that you give to others mean something. They make a difference. So how about kindness? I wish I have it in my office, but I wish I would have put on my button that I got at when I was at the convention that says, be kind. Be kind. So you can give your enthusiasm, your praise, you can give your kindness. You can give the benefit of the doubt. You can give tough love. Got to be willing to receive it as well. And if you develop this giving consciousness instead of what can I get out of? What am I getting? And move toward what can I give? Let me tell you, life will bless you more abundantly than you can imagine. And the giving of your gifts monetarily, the giving of your time, will flow naturally from you because you will be in the flow of knowing that you cannot outgive God and that God is an endless source of abundance in your life. Somebody joked the other day and said, as a minister, did I take a vow of poverty? I said, wrong religious practice, sorry. I took a vow of abundance. I took a vow of knowing that God is everything. God is everywhere. God is in me. God is in you. And seeing that in you is part of a giving consciousness. You see? And everything flows from that. One of the things that's easy for us to do in a spiritual community, and I know because I did it for a long time, is to come and sit and receive a great Sunday and go home. And not give back to the community in any way. I've done that. I can tell you that it all got richer. It all got bigger. It all got more joyful. It all got deeper when I started engaging myself. My time, my talent, my gifts that I could give by volunteering, and my treasure. that's when things that you can't imagine begin to appear in your life. You have a better idea now what a giving consciousness is? We're building that in this church. Do you know what we're doing on the board level? We're giving thanks more. We're giving thanks. We're acknowledging things that need to be acknowledged and saying thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Maggie. Thank you, all of you who make the service happen. Thank you, all of you who keep the grounds beautiful. And we are at Xander, what is the classification? We have passed through the first step of our Earth Care certification because of the way we're taking care of our property here. We're giving back to the mother. Okay. Regarding friends that have problems, how do we be a friend who listens without depleting our own energy? It's a good question. I'm just going to give you the short, it's going to sound kind of snarky, but I'm going to give you the short answer. People can only deplete you if you let them. If you're listening to people so much that your energy is depleted, you're listening for the wrong reason. You're listening for you and not them. That's my tough love talk. I am not saying do not be a compassionate listener. But what I'm saying is people can only take advantage of you in any way whatsoever if you... you see, they're taking advantage. They're taking advantage, and you're saying, yeah, sure, take it. Take advantage. Here you go. Whew, I'm all out of advantage. And advantage would translate to self-care, boundaries. So listen. And know when to say enough. And I would dare you to do this. If you've got a friend who is telling you the same story over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, you might ask them what benefit they're deriving from telling that story over and over again. What are they getting out of it? That's a gift of love right there. Because you've asked them to step up to the higher self that's already within them and to step out of self-pity or self-doubt or whatever, victimhood. And so you set those limits for yourself. You set those limits for yourself. I have people all the time say, oh, well, I would love to come talk to you, but I don't want to wear you out. Well, I get to figure that out. I get to figure that out. If my week is full and I don't have time for another appointment, I will say, beloved, I can see you next week. If you're in crisis, of course, I'm at your service. But if something's been bugging you for 6 years and you want to come in and see me, it can wait another week. But it's up to me because I am on call 24/7 for deaths, births, crises, emergencies. It's up to me to set those boundaries for myself. And also to know that it is not I myself doing this all by myself. If I am not calling on Spirit to guide my work, then I am going to be depleted really quickly. And if you have friends that are calling upon you because you're a good listener, if you are going to continue to listen, then you'd better be drawing on the divine source to give you the energy and stamina to do so. Okay? I do have the discretion to not answer if I feel like the question is not appropriate. I will still tell you that I get my hair done at the barber shop. Because that question does come up. Who does your hair? Oh, well, this is kind of related, but let me see if I can read it. I think. I can't read the handwriting. I'm sorry. I can't answer this question. Because there's a word in here that looks like it says shrimp, and I'm pretty sure that I can't. That's not, it's not, I'm sorry. I would answer it, I promise, if I could, but I don't think the question you have has shrimp in it, so I can't give you a good answer. Here we go. Is free will only a gift of this lifetime? Wow, that's got a few elements to it. Well, if we're endowed with free will by the Creator, it seems like it would be a gift given for the whole life of your soul, for your eternal spirit. I don't think the Creator, the Divine Spirit, would say, okay, so when you arrive in the 20th century and you live that lifespan, you're going to have free will. But then after, when you die, I'm going to let you have a life where you don't. So I don't think it works that way. That's just my guess. I'm just guessing. But I would guess that free will is something that's given to us throughout the life of our soul, however long that is, from end to end, infinite to infinite. The illusion of free will?
There might be more destiny involved.
Ah, okay, so the idea of destiny versus free will is another question, and I'm going to try to answer it as fast as I can, because we're running out of time already. I'm going to have to take off my hat for this one. If you ever read the Richard Bach book called One, it showed all of the different fields of possibility at any given moment that the person could take in the story. And they all had different outcomes. And some of the outcomes led to the same conclusion and some of them didn't. I think what we're given is a realm of possibilities. It's endless. It's beyond our imagination, but there's a realm of possibilities. But we make the choice every day about what we will or will not do. We make the choice every day, and hopefully we're listening to our divine guidance about which way we'll go in a thing. It could be as simple as, what does my body want for breakfast? To, shall I take this drive and perhaps die in a wreck? We don't know that ahead of time, of course. So let's just take it destiny versus free will. By my free will, I drove to church this morning. And by my paying attention, whatever you want to call that, I was able to drive defensively and get out of the way. Had I not been, or had the driver not corrected himself in time, it would have been a pretty dire situation. I believe that I have a long life yet to live. That's my belief, and I make choices every day that support that. Had I perished this morning on the slick roads, had I perished, there would have been a divine order to that as well. I don't think God would say, okay, snatching you off the earth. And any of you who've ever been to any of my memorial services know that I pray that. I say that. That God does not just precociously pick us off the earth. When I read an obituary that says God needed another angel, I don't think God needs angels. So, you know, takes people off the earth and says, okay, promoted. I don't think it works that way. Now, and as if I wake up to the next life and go, well, that was a surprise. I thought I was going to be here a little bit longer. It's not because I don't have free will. It's because somewhere there's work for me to do on the other side. And if there's not some kind of a soul agreement, and this applies to tragic, untimely death, to the end of a long and full life, if there is not some kind of a soul agreement to leave this earth, then what does that say about our God? I think there are laws of nature. And the laws of nature are sometimes going to wreak disaster upon human beings. So I don't call that destiny. I call that the laws of nature. And nature is much of law as gravity. So we can talk about free will versus destiny. Where are we destined to meet each other? I think we're destined to make a choice to arrive where we arrive, when we arrive there, and then we recognize the people who have made similar choices, and we go, I know you. I've known you for a long time. We just happened to meet a few minutes ago. But I've known you for a long time. That's the way I feel about you. And that's the way a lot of us feel about each other. So if you want to call that destiny, that's fine. I call it free will and coming together when we need to be together. And I think we'd better pray. One of the questions somebody put in the gratitude box was, why does the service not end until 10 after 12? Which I didn't necessarily consider a gratitude question, but it's because sometimes we have a lot of things in this community that we want to celebrate, honor, acknowledge. Sometimes the minister's long-winded. Sometimes the greeting's too long. sometimes songs are too long. Sometimes we need more meditation than other times. So we do the best that we can, and sometimes we're running around a little late. And if you need to go, go. You have free will. And don't worry about hurting my feelings. My feelings are something I own. I get to decide, not you. That's the way this works. You're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. And there are lions among us. And I don't just mean the civic organization, gentlemen. Truth. So, all that laughter has freed up some space in your body and in your breath. So enjoy it. Do you have any idea how precious you really are? Do you have any idea that despite any thoughts that you have about yourself that are less than generous, are not as important as the divine you that is eternal and perfect? Do what you must in order to shift those thoughts by prayer, by therapy, by walks in nature. But beloved, you must know that you are precious. You are a vital and important part of this universe. You stand on the earth at this time and in this place for a reason that your soul chose. So shine your brightest. Live your fullest. Give generously of yourself. It's what you were created to do. Let's do this again that we did before. Your left hand on your heart, your right hand over your left hand. Feel your breath into your hands. Let's call this a heart hug. Because the reason that we have any spiritual success in the world is because we start here, where these hands hug your heart. Just breathe. And if the thought of your preciousness is too tender for you, then let the tears fall out. You would not be here if you were not intended to be a mighty presence. We give thanks to the great spirit of life, living in us and through us, sustaining us every day, every moment. We give thanks for the fellow travelers, the ones we know and the ones we don't know. We give thanks that we live upon this earth that is now struggling for its safety, for its health. And we do our part to bless it. And we extend our love to all people everywhere, no matter what they practice or do not practice in their spiritual life. Thank you. For we are the rising tide that lifts all the boats. It is always right and appropriate that we end our prayer with thanksgiving. So give thanks for your precious self. Give thanks for the precious beings that are sitting here in this room with you, and our children and our teens. Give thanks for life. And so it is. Amen.